Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. We've got a few visitors here today. We send a special welcome to those who are visiting with us. And if it is your first time here, we do encourage you to fill out a welcome card, which most of you, I think, have already received. And you may place that in the offering plate or hand it to me at the end of the service, just so we may know who's been worshiping with us. We don't sell your name and address. We don't give it away. It's just so that we can make contact with you and just follow up. And if you're willing to give that information to us, we appreciate that. I want to invite you to all stay for a few moments after the service for time refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right next door, which is also air-conditioned. And then on the back page of the bulletin, on the inside back page, you will note the calendar for this week. And I think we are pretty much in summer mode now, that most of our meetings have taken a recess for the summer. The office will not be open on Tuesday. We are open tomorrow. Somebody asked, and we are open tomorrow, but we will not be open on Tuesday. And there will be no Bible study on Tuesday either. And next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, all church members are invited and encouraged to stay for lunch and town hall discussion and business meeting. We'll be having that downstairs in Social Hall. And the lunch is being provided by the diaconate, so you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to bring anything for food. Just bring yourselves and your ideas about our church and the future of our church next Sunday. Also, there's a note in there about the church-sponsored yard sale. It's going to be some Saturday in August, and we're still... The chairperson and I can't remember the date off the top of her head, so I didn't put it in my calendar. I thought I did, but I didn't. So,
it is the 12th.
All right, Steve confirmed that. All right, so August 12th, there will be a church-wide yard sale here. Like, if you want to rent a table and sell some things for yourselves, okay? If you want to donate some things to the church for us to sell for our profit, you may do that too. But Steve Butland is overseeing this, and if you have questions, see him. There will be a flyer out hopefully in the next week or so about that. And also on the back page of the bulletin is a shopping list for Housing Families backpacks. I know some people have said, oh, kids just got out of school, but I've seen some sales right after, parents want to get everything out of the way before they go back, before they take vacation. So there are additional copies available of the list. And also want to encourage you do not have to purchase everything on the list by any means. The deacons have purchased several backpacks, which you may have noticed out in the hallway. And you are also asked to, you don't have to provide a receipt, but if you can just attach a note with the estimated cost of the items that you're donating, that would be helpful, because when Marilyn takes everything to Housing Families, they ask for the value. So she then has to go through and guesstimate. So it'd be helpful if you can just put a note in there about how much money you spent and the value of it, so that will help Marilyn in her preparation to taking it to Housing Families. And the deadline is Sunday, July 30th for us, so that we can get everything to Housing Families before their deadline early in August. At this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively. With glad and grateful hearts, we gather this day
to sing a song of praise to God,
for our country,
for our world,
for peace. Our opening hymn is a familiar tune, and Marilyn played it as our prelude as well, so we're in the mood. Our opening hymn is America the Beautiful, number 759. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Forever.
pray. Creator and ruler of humankind, while songs of our nation ring in our hearts, remind us to celebrate above all the oneness of humanity that you have created. Help us who are your church in this place to be truly open to all your children and to pray for the coming of the day when all shall be one in him who has broken down all the walls that now divide us, even Jesus the Christ, the Lord of both the church and the world. We ask this in his name and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I knew it, but I hadn't thought about it. So I was glad I was there. I was able to wish her an early happy birthday. Beverly's doing well. She had a pacemaker implanted about 10 days ago and is still recuperating from that and still trying to stay a little active before she goes back to assisted living. And we do want to keep Paul Patry and May Alderman who remain at home today. So do you have any requests for prayer, any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family?
I have a massive celebration.
Okay.
As you know, Jake is non-verbal. He called, his mother called, and he said, Happy birthday, Griff.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's wonderful. That is wonderful to have Jake be able to say that to you. That is a true celebration. You don't know that Jake has autism, and he's not verbal. But has obviously been working on some So that's wonderful. And to be able to hear that on the phone, I know how special that is. That's wonderful. Anyone else have a perfect joke?
Lisa Jacobson's good friend, Camilla, her boyfriend, she'd like prayers for him. So she's been failing to hear right now. And so she's asking for prayers for Camilla's, Lisa's best friend, Camilla's boyfriend, Al.
Okay. And he's in Calvin care. So we'll keep him and Carmella, obviously, in the anyone else have a prayer? Cindy.
Continue to remember my brother?
Yes. Cindy's brother was diagnosed with metastatic cancer. It spread. And we want to keep him in prayer. And we want to keep others, too, that we know that are ill or injured. But anyone else have a specific request they'd like to share?
I just learned that our granddaughter Jessica fell down the stairs and has hurt her back. So her husband Joe is caring for her and for his kids.
Lucky Jessica first.
Yeah.
She she's at home or
she's at home. Okay. They're in New Hampshire.
Right. Lucky Jessica and the family. Joe and family. Thank you.
A and my niece, sister-in-law, and my friend Marie.
Peggy's friend Marie, and also Peggy's niece and sister-in-law. Anyone else have a prayer request? No, then let's go to God, let me have some of these requests or something on your heart. Let's pray again.
Such a way as gives us breath, such a true.
gets to you and asks that you would bless them and bless us. And they share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Your singing sounds a lot better in here than in the sanctuary. I can hear you singing in here. Not saying that you don't sing in the sanctuary, but it's a smaller room and you're closer together. Our scripture for this morning comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, the first 9 verses. Here is my servant whom I behold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This ends the reading of God's holy word for this morning. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and its application. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from the ancient prophet Isaiah, having a meaning for the people of Israel, but also looking forward in time to your servant Jesus, and even to this time of your servants whom you call today to be part of your ministry. Lord, there's many challenges in that text. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be open this day, that we may have a sense of, and a message from you of what you are calling us as your disciples to be doing. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we celebrate our nation's birth and independence, we recognize that the freedoms we enjoy and the privileges we share were not easily achieved. Several wars have taken place in and on behalf of our country to protect and defend our rights. The birth of our nation instigated what we call the Revolutionary War, but this morning I'd like to reflect on another war in our history. While the revolution was against Britain, the Civil War was against fellow Americans, as gunfire erupted between Southern and Northern forces in 1861. What can this conflict teach us as we face the battles going on in our society today? One remarkable thing about the Civil War is that both the North and the South assumed that God was on their side. Both felt the Lord was speaking of them when they heard the words of Isaiah, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him." The South, in particular, had some powerful and persuasive preachers who used the Bible to defend the institution of slavery. Taking the Bible literally, they preached that humans had no business questioning the Word of God when it said, these are some examples, all from the New Testament, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Let all who are under the yoke of slavery regard their masters as worthy of all honor. Tell slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh." Christians who wanted to preserve slavery could live by the slogan, "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it." It's no wonder that the people of the South believed that God was on their side. The preachers of the North had to be a little more creative in their biblical interpretation, but they too found a way to defend their cause. Some emphasized that the United States had to be preserved because without its advance, without the Union, the advance of liberty around the world would be slowed or even stopped. "If America is lost, the world is lost," said one preacher in a Thanksgiving sermon. Historian James Howell Moorhead points out that other ministers drew on the book of Revelation to suggest that a northern victory might prepare the way for the coming of God's kingdom on earth. Still others preached that God would not allow the North to win until it took decisive steps to end slavery. The Battle Hymn of the Republic summed up the beliefs of the Union as well with these words, "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigured you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on." Theological shots were fired from both the South and the North, and both sides were convinced that they were acting as the Lord's servant, with God right beside them. They were bringing to life a warning that George Washington, our first president, had written 70 years earlier when he wrote these words, "Religious controversies are always productive of more acrimony and irreconcilable hatreds than those which spring from any other cause." Religious controversies, acrimony, irreconcilable hatreds. True then, true today. But then another president, Abraham Lincoln, offered a very different and most constructive perspective on religious warfare. He said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." So are we on God's side? That's a question that we are left with today. In the middle of our contemporary civil wars, are we on God's side? Not questioning if God's with us, but are we with God? We will be if we act like the servant of the Lord in Isaiah, the one who will not cry or lift up his voice, but instead will faithfully bring forth justice. Those who serve the Lord have a mission to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. Christians who do these things will always find themselves right where they need to be, on the side of God. This is not a north-south issue, nor is it a right-left, blue-red, gay-straight, Republican-Democratic. Wherever we find ourselves on the cultural, theological, and political spectrum, we are challenged when shots are being fired to be the Lord's servant. The key is not to take a particular stand, but to play a distinctive role, one that's civil, one that is serving. A servant role, a civil servant, if you would. Look at the role the servant takes on in the book of Isaiah. God says, "I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." The servant is filled with God's spirit in order to bring justice to the nations, which means to go out into the world to protect the rule of law, to uphold human rights, to deliver social justice, and to maintain daily healthy relationships. The Bible is particularly concerned about people who are often denied justice because of their lack of power. For example, widows, orphans, and resident aliens. So the first role of the servant of the Lord is to bring forth justice, to bring the justice of God's kingdom into the middle of human life. We do this whenever we treat people fairly and respect their rights, seeing them as precious children of God, made in his image and his likeness. We do this when we pay special attention to people who are vulnerable and in danger of being mistreated by others. Jose Rosales came to the United States to work and support his family. He sent every spare penny he made back home to Guatemala and spent all of his free time in church. Many people in America today might have looked down on him or even abused him. But Jose worked hard and earned the trust of a family in Centerville, Virginia. They gave him steady work in their construction and real estate business, and they treated him fairly, especially during tough economic times. This family viewed Jose as a child of God, and then he became a hero. One spring morning, two armed men broke into the family's four-car garage. The gunmen threatened the family, and Jose tried to protect them. He jumped one of the invaders. Shots were fired, and Jose was killed. The two intruders fled, and the family was stunned. "Without Jose, I firmly believe I would not be alive right now," the father of the family told the media. "He stood strong to protect people who were not related to him. He's a guardian angel." The father said he plans to help Jose's family like he helped my family, help his family out however we can. This brings forth justice, being a servant of the Lord. We move back to our scripture. We also notice that the ways in which true servants do their work is this: he will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick He will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. These civil servants are not loud and obnoxious. They're not destructive or domineering. They do their work quietly and compassionately with respect for the other people around them, while also standing strong for what they believe in. He will not grow faint or be crushed, predicts Isaiah, until he has established justice in the earth. Protesters from the far left and the radical right should study this passage. There's a better way than waving signs and screaming insults or firing verbal shots at the opposition. True servants of the Lord always produce more light than heat. In fact, they're sent to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. God's servants bring light into darkness and help people see new ways of living together. They work for the liberation of anyone who's trapped in poverty, in addiction, in homelessness, in loneliness, in despair. Servants of the Lord are constantly working to free those who are enslaved. In our country's Civil War in the mid-1800s, the North and South did battle over slavery. In our civil wars today, we're fighting about many cultural, political, and theological issues. And oddly enough, the way out of our struggles is not going to be to fight harder, but to serve better. As we celebrate our nation's birth and independence, may we also seek ways to serve our Lord by reaching out to those in need. Let's pray together. Oh God, this week we celebrate who we are and where we live. In our pride, make us also humble, for we are aware of our freedom, but also aware that sometimes our freedom and our fortune has cost others theirs. Give us your perspective this week, not only to enjoy celebration, but to know that we cannot celebrate fully until the world joins us as a community of care. We lift to you prisoners of conscience, poverty, cruel regimes, and places where freedom is just a dream. May we always be servants, people who remember and work for justice as you would have us do. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of preparation for communion today is Make Me a Servant, number 535. We'll be singing it twice through. It's a short song. And we'll be standing as we sing together.
We receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering.
And drink with you. Amen.
Amen.
We think of the last night that Jesus and his disciples shared a meal together. It was in the upper room. It was a Passover meal when they were celebrating and reenacting the deliverance of the Israelites, God's people, from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus, during that meal, took the bread. And after giving thanks to God, he told the disciples, they were expecting some different words, but he said these new words, "This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you." Jesus said, "Whenever you eat this, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken that we might be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal continued, Jesus took the cup and again gave thanks to God for this and began passing the cup among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it and telling them this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly came to earth as a servant. And even after this meal that you shared with the disciples when you went to the garden and prayed, you still were in your servant mode, Lord Jesus, because you prayed to your Father and said, you know, I don't want to do this, but your will be done. Lord, we thank you that you went through with that you paid the price for our sins. We pray that we may be faithful followers. We may be servants of you for all of our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn this morning is 756. My eyes have seen the glory. We sing verses 1 and 4. Us to be God's servants. As we leave this worship, let us dedicate our lives to serving the Lord. May God the giver give each of us gifts that we need. May Christ the servant show us the way, and the Spirit of life grant us joy and peace in humble tasks done in God's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.